Yesterday night I'm discussing about humility. And we were concluding with the theme of how amongst young devotees there can be clashes. Like we gave the example yesterday of how there can be very rough and tough dealings between one devotee and another devotee, or between one temple and another temple, one department and another department. There can be quarrel for some resources, or there can be quarrel due to whose prestige is greater, mine or yours. There can be differences in opinion. And although it seems to be some trivial quarrel, it has a direct connection to our attaining or not attaining Krishna prema soon. It has a very direct connection. Why? So we have come here to join the Brahmacharya Ashram, giving up everything of the world, you know, willing to don ourselves with the dress of a mendicant, to attain love for Krishna. In fact, it's not a very easy thing for one to give up everything. If you read the Bhagavatam, the many people you will see, they go to the household life, they get children, they do job, they live with parents and family and everything, and spend many, many years purifying their heart. And at a certain point of time, you know, retirement stage or something like 50 or 60, then they leave everything and then they go to God. And that's always mentioned in Bhagavatam. You'll find Dara, Sutta, and Rajyam, and all these things they gave up and then they went. So now, giving up all those things is not very easy, but how to give it up, they practice for many years. Even to give up the things of the world to which our mind is attached to give it up, it takes many years of living amongst them, gradually developing detachment, practicing devotion service, and then they give up, and then they go to forests and everything. But we have given them up all, if you see, at such an early age. You have casted away all the pleasures of the world, which are considered the very goal of life for many people. The pleasures of woman, the pleasures of money, the pleasures of opulence, the pleasures of material success, foreign chance, all these things. For what? Why have we given them up? All these things. When the whole world is running after it, why have we given them up all and come to this ashram? To get something higher than all of this put together. That is Krishna prema. We have come for getting that. But oftentimes, sadhus worldwide, we find that after giving up everything and coming to this ashram, they quarrel over trivial issues. They quarrel over whether have you taken my copine or I have taken your copine for a small thing. Or they quarrel over, you know, this is my locker, that is your locker, you have taken my thing. So, in that quarrel over small issues, oftentimes people hurt each other's growth in Krishna consciousness by that kind of trivial quarrels, quarrel over trivial issues. Actually, one very dangerous, impediment in attaining Krishna prema is hard-heartedness. And that hard-heartedness can come due to various reasons. One reason is it can come by detaching ourselves from the things of the world and by considering oneself a renunciate. I am a great renunciate that I have given up everything of the world. From that notion, we can become hard-hearted. It's one way to get hard-heartedness. Pride of detachment brings forth hard-heartedness. Another way of getting hard-hearted is becoming insensitive to the feelings of other people, other devotees. Becoming completely insensitive to the feelings of others and treating them like a stone or like a brick wall, and not treating them as persons endowed with emotions and sentiments. So by behaving like that, that also can make us become hard-hearted. Not caring for others, not being considerate to others' feelings, and treating them just like you may treat a wall like this. That kind of treating them also causes hard-heartedness. Being immune to others' feelings. So, when we quarrel over trivial issues and make it into an egoistic problem, and say that I will not talk to you, and I don't need you, your presence or absence in the ashram doesn't make any difference to me. Thinking like this makes us hard-hearted. The cold war leads to hard-heartedness. And because of that, a hard heart is unconducive for attaining Krishna prema. It is not at all a conducive climate, attaining Krishna prema. It actually makes life more difficult for us to experience the bhakti bhavana. Bhakti requires a soft heart. See, soft-heartedness towards Krishna is called bhakti. Soft-heartedness towards other living entities is called as daya. And the result of attaining that daya is kshama also, forgiving others for whatever small quarrels that might have taken place between devotees. See, our quarrel is not like a quarrel between Hindustan and Pakistan. It is not such a great thing. The issues are very trivial. They don't have to be made big. Actually, we can make it big if you want. How do we make it big? By doing cold wars and by biting one another behind the back, by becoming duplicitous, by committing offenses, and by increasing the enmity by pouring petrol into the fire of enmity. We can make things more complex if you want. That's how life becomes complex. So if you are really keen that I want to attain Krishna prem, all these impediments should be removed, which are coming in the midway. That is why humility is very conducive for attaining Krishna prem. When we hear these things, we may think, oh, that means Vaishnava must be forgiving. The Vaishnava must be willing to forgive and forget the mistakes done by the other person. That's what we think. But if you go to Vaishnava and ask, are you forgiving? He will say, who am I to forgive? I am myself a great offender. I am such a rascal that others have to forgive me. Who am I to forgive others? Like that a Vaishnava feels. A Vaishnava never feels that one thing that fellow said or did, that I cannot forgive. He doesn't say that. He says forgive. Forgiveness, who should forgive whom? I am not supposed to forgive anyone. They should forgive me. Because offender is me, not them. Like that a Vaishnava feels. So, for this, Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj has given four principles which are like benchmark for cultivating a very good climate in our heart. These four principles are so important. A progressive devotee who is eager to attain Krishna should cultivate these things. Firstly, he says, view oneself to be the first source of all conflicts, he says. One should view oneself to be the first source of all conflicts. That means, you know, whenever there is a misunderstanding between two devotees, one should think that, oh, this misunderstanding has come because of me. One should consider oneself first. And then one can also consider others also might have contributed to the quarrel, possible. But who is the first source of conflict? That is me. I get one should think. Just like Parikshit and Sringi and Samikrishi, all of them blamed themselves for that mishap that happened. You know, Parikshit put the snake around the neck, so he cursed himself. Sringi spelled a curse, so he cursed himself. And Samikrishi didn't train the Brahmana boy, he felt. So, this is what in modern day world they call it as proactive behavior, they call it. What Stephen Covey writes as the first habit. Proactive behavior means, you know, if you think the problem is out there, you can never rectify it, he says. But if you think the problem is right here, then there is something within me by which I can change it. Because you cannot change the world, but you can change yourself. So don't blame the world, don't accuse the world, don't criticize the world around you or people around you. Look into you. For example, if I find one of you misbehaving, then I can do two things. One is, I can find out which is the devotee misbehaving, call him and chastise him or correct him. That's one thing I can do. Another thing I can do is, what is wrong in my training program that has missed out because of which this devotee is behaving like this? You can ask like that. So probably we haven't trained our devotees to, like one time what happened, our devotees went on yatra. Later on the news came to me. They went through, the train went through Hyderabad or something, got down. And one congregation devotee brought some amras, you know. Amras he brought in a very big jar. He was giving devotees. And some of the devotees drank, some of them drank a dozen glasses. And the devotee was about to faint, saying, how can this, you know, devotees drink so much amras? He thought maybe they will drink one or two or three, although it was tasty. But some of the devotees are drinking more and more. Later on, that devotee commented that probably you devotees don't get amrata all in your life, amrata in your life or something. So when news came, I felt so ashamed. Then I asked the devotees in the return back, hey, what have you not given you in the ashram? That when you go out, you don't have any control of your tongue. Then after that, in the summer season, I made sure that we gave a lot of amratas to devotees. Almost every day they got amratas in Pune. Why I'm telling, we can ask ourselves sometimes, what training have I not given because of which devotees are behaving like this? So let me, if I find my subordinate lacking in something, I can think, maybe it is my fault that I haven't trained them properly to behave. If I trained them properly, they would have performed better. So this is called proactive thinking, or viewing oneself to be the first source of the problem. Then secondly, he says that my success in Krishna consciousness depends on the quality of my interactions with other devotees. For example, what is the quality of my talk during the day with other devotees? Is it in mode of goodness? Is it in mode of passion? Is it in mode of ignorance? See, mode of ignorance means confusion, conflict, bewilderment, screaming, feeling inferiority complex, unhealthy comparison. These are all mode of ignorance. Unhealthy comparison. Screaming in fear or anger. This is a mode of ignorance. Unhealthy comparisons. Confusion, bewilderment, all these things are mode of ignorance. Mode of passion is aggressive exchange between two devotees. Claiming anger with devotees, or yelling, shouting, and the culmination is actually slapping or beating. which is very unlikely to happen between devotees. So this quality of interactions are considered very bad for devotees. I never told you that. You only told me that. No. What is the proof that I told you? No. I don't have to give you proof. I always know you say one thing and do another thing. This kind of exchanges. They are not very conducive. They are more of passion. So, my success in Krishna consciousness depends on the quality of my interactions with other devotees. One should always consider it like that. Understand? Because if my quality of interaction with other devotees is pure and good, then that can actually boost my Krishna consciousness very rapidly. Thirdly, he says, always remember that the people who are going to be surrendering my body at the time of my death are going to be these devotees only, with whom I am living now. So what would you want these devotees to think of you in your funeral, at the time of passing away? Like if somebody dies, some people say, Acha ho gaya, chala gaya, mar gaya, chal basa. Yeah, people say like that. Thank God he created so much trouble for everyone in the world, including himself. Now he's gone now, like Hiranyakashipu is gone now, no more trouble. Should people feel like that, or if he pass away, people should feel that, oh, I'm missing one important devotee. He had contributed to me in my life so much. His association, his presence, his company was so enlivening, encouraging, inspiring, educating, enlightening. Such a devotee, just like that song we sing, Jainalo Premadan, Karanaprachya. So people should feel that I'm missing somebody very valuable in my life who would have helped me grow in my Krishna consciousness. So they should feel great separation. Then our life is a success. So, the people, oftentimes, we have a lot of respect for people from other temples. Like if some devotee from another temple comes to Pune, they roll on the ground, fall on the ground, catch their feet and everything. When it comes to the people with whom we live, Adiparichaya, Avajna. We take them very cheaply and we treat them like a fig. We don't respect them. We mistreat them and we take them very lightly. Actually, every one of us will be familiar with at least 8-10 people in our lives. And they are the people we have to be very cautious while dealing with. We should not take them very cheaply, because if you are going to take them very cheaply, you are going to take the whole world cheaply. Because by maintaining a loose connection with them and loose wordings and dealings and disrespectful behavior with them, then the same principle will come towards other people of the world for a period of time. But if we learn, like I saw Devamar Prabhu and Madhav Prabhu, they were living in Bhaktivinoda Hospital, fifth floor. I went to meet them. Almost four years or so they were together in the room, same room. They would go to the Miraro temple in the morning, So I was very surprised. Even after 4 or 5 years of staying together in the same room, there's two of them, reading, writing, and going to the temple, preaching and all that. They had such a high level of degree of respect for each other, Morning after taking bath, offering obeisances to each other, discussing Bhagavatam. And I also found in each other's absence, you talk about the other and their mouth is full of appreciation. Their mouth is full of glorification of the other person. There is no... Oftentimes, if somebody comes to you to talk about another devotee, we talk ill of the other devotee. That fellow, I know about him. He has this problem, that problem. He's a crazy fellow. He doesn't understand. Sometimes we may have valid reason also why we said what we said. But despite having that reason, still, oftentimes the tendency of a conditioned soul is to push the blame on the other souls. That is one of the strong tendencies. I am good, He is bad. I am all right, but no one else is all right. Everyone else and everything else has a problem except me. That tendency is very strong in us. That is why, by blaming others in their absence, the word will get around to them. And then they will feel very unhappy. And they will not be able to relate with us over a period of time. So, this is the third principle. That we should view all our, we should know that the people with whom we are living now may live with us after 4 years, or 10 years, or 20 years. In Bombay, Ramaswamy Maharaj was telling Gaurav Patrava and Gajbehari Prabhu, and there were 5-6 other senior leaders in his room. So we were all sitting with him and discussing in one meeting. So he was telling, for example, he said, you take this, Gaurav Gopal Prabhu and Jayapur Maharaj said, if all the Gaurav Gopal Prabhu's boys and Gajbehari Prabhu's boys who come to the temple, they see that these two devotees are reciprocating love with each other, and they are respectful to each other, and they are glorifying each other in their absence. He said, then the boys will understand that they have a very sweet relationship. And the boys also, below these two people, they will all deal with each other in the same spirit, he said. And one day, if these two devotees had a misunderstanding or a quarrel, like you look at each other and then you turn your face away, you have a cold war. And the boys see that as soon as I talk about the other person, you know, that is not appreciated. When the boys recognize, then they will think that because this Prabhu is enemy of this Prabhu, then the boys will think, I am also enemy of boy who is under him. So like that he was saying. And then he said, because of that, the enmity between one and one can become enmity between 500 and 500, or 1,000 and 1,000 over a period of time, the more you grow in spiritual life. He said. So he said the toughest thing he said in spiritual life is, as you grow in seniority over the years, to have such a respect for each other and appreciation for each other. For that, he said, all the seniors have to come together and associate with each other. And Ramaswamy stresses a lot on humility, because he himself lives by it. If you observe him very closely in his life, you know, despite achieving a very exalted position, he lives by this principle very, very carefully and cautiously. I was with him in Calcutta. I got to observe some things. I was going with him to the airport in the car. So as soon as he sat in the car, you know, he was phoning up one, I think Krishna Abhishek Prabhu or somebody, one boy. He asked, Prabhu, where are you? You said you will join us at the airport. He said, Maharaj, I am just 5 minutes before the airport, Maharaj. I already arrived. He said, oh, you are ahead of us. And he said, so we will follow you in your footsteps. He said, immediately that boy said, no, Maharaj. No, who should follow in whose footsteps? If you want, I will come to temple, he said. And Maharaj said, no, you already reached the airport, you be there. I'll come there, he said. Then on the way, he went to meet one sannyasi who was very sickly. So he went to meet him. He called me also, come. So we went inside. One Australian couple, husband, wife, elderly couple, they may be around 55, 60 years old. So they came, and Maharaj saw them. They just came the opposite. They were disciples of the sannyasi. So they immediately offered obeisances to Maharaj. Maharaj also returned obeisances to them. And when he got up, so that Mataji was telling, she said, Maharaj, I got your new book which you have written, The Journey Home. When I opened the book, I just couldn't keep it down. I completed it cover to cover. And now I have given it to my son, and he is reading it, she was telling. And Maharaj, and she said, Maharaj, the book was too good, she said. And Maharaj said, your words of appreciation are better than my book, he said. Your work appreciation is so encouraging that they are even better than my book itself. I told her. And then her Mataji's husband was telling, Maharaj, me and my son are competing for the same book. Now I want to get one more. How do we get the book? He was asking. Then we went inside. We saw there was one fat American devotee who was there, and one another receptionist, gentleman devotee. He asked Maharaj, Maharaj, would you like to have breakfast? He asked. And Maharaj looked straight into his eyes. Does he really mean it, or is he just asking as a formality? You know, he saw. And then immediately he could sense that he is actually asking from his heart. Then he turned to me and asked, are you carrying breakfast for me? Yeah. The Kali said, I immediately ran and found out from the Maharaj's servant, yes, Maharaj, he was carrying breakfast for Maharaj. He came back and told Maharaj, Maharaj is carrying a lot of breakfast for you. Then Maharaj looked at the devotee and said, okay, we'll have breakfast here, in your place. I was very surprised. I told Maharaj that there's breakfast in the car. After hearing that, he said, no, we'll have breakfast here only. I was very surprised. Then the devotee immediately took Maharaj, and then he asked me, Maharaj, I said I have my timings, I had at 8 o'clock in the morning. It was almost 9 that time. He said, no, Rajan, this devotee is eager to feed us, so you should have at least one grain here, you know, he said, just to please this devotee, come with me, he said. So we went. So we went, and that American devotee, I said, little fat devotee, so he was feeding us some breakfast prasadam. 4 or 5 different varieties. So Maharaj took a little of everything. So he asked his name, and he asked about who he was and everything, and then about his parents. And then Maharaj said, oh, really? I know your parents very well in West. I know them personally. And he was telling him the glories of his parents for some time. And after washing the hands, because he was talking to this boy, young boy, I think he was a new bhakta, not even an initiated at. He is serving that that sannyasi. So that Australian couple, I told, you know, that Prabhuji was taking a camera to click this devotee from a distance. Maharaj saw that. Oh, it seems he wants to click us. So he caught hold of this boy's hand like this and said that, you know, at the time of my death, if Ramadut has come, I can show them this photo that I have a devotee with me, don't take me away. And Amitabh will not touch me because I am in your association, like that Maharaj told them. So I got to see all these things. And while going into this place and coming out of this place, there is a kitchen where there were 3-4 old widow ladies, like you find sometimes in Gaudiya Mutha, you find old, wearing white. They may be 60, 70 years old. Ladies, they were all cutting sabji and cooking. And Maharaj was going through the kitchen. We had to go through the kitchen area. So he was keeping his arms like this. He was like, doing to them. They were all shocked. They immediately got up from that place, offering obeisances. You know, sannyasi is passing through. And women always feel themselves, great devotee women feel themselves very small and insignificant. They all offered obeisances. Maharaj, 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 everything got up. And he asked all of them, are you all happy? Yes. And he said, yes. He proceeded. So I observed that he is very careful in dealing with devotees. That's one lesson I got at the end of all this observation. So right now I told you three principles. The fourth principle is what? Fourth principle is that who is the Vaishnava whom you love the most in your life? Every one of us, we love many devotees. But amongst them, we have a deep love for oftentimes somebody who has, paid attention to you very closely, like a facilitator or a Shiksha Guru immediately with you, or your counselor, or your Guru Maharaj or whatever. So identify in your own deeper innermost recesses of your heart. First you make a list of all the devotees whom you love. Maybe make a list of 4, 5, 6, whatever number of devotees. I must then identify which is the devotee who has captured my heart. So the meaning of a devotee who has captured your heart is the devotee whom you remember in your mind, even in their absence. That is one of the ways to know. And then he says, treat everyone in this world thinking of them to be like the devotee. He says. And Buddha goes one step forward. Buddha says, treat everyone in this world like a mother treats a child. He says. How a mother treats her child. Like that you should treat everyone in this world, Buddha says. So he says, Buddha himself says, that's very difficult to do. There is one way you can do that, he says. Whatever sufferings and difficulties that come upon you from other living beings towards you. So don't see those living entities as wicked. Don't see them as wicked, but see them as ignorant, he says. You see the living entities as ignorant, you'll feel sympathy. If you see them as wicked, you'll feel envy. That's the difference. Oftentimes, how we see them? We see them as wicked. That is why we become envious and angry. So if we see them as ignorant, we feel sympathy. We think that is like that, he says Buddha. So in bringing about true humility, one of the things that plays the topmost role is loving reciprocation between devotees. One step prior to that is genuine, heartfelt appreciation for other devotees. Which we may speak to the devotee directly, or we may speak to another devotee. Like I may glorify, say, Krishnananda Prabhu in his absence. So that will make my heart healthy. That also will send out an invisible wave to that person whom we are glorifying, and it also encourages the person. It's not that you have to encourage the person in front of him only. Even if you encourage a person in his absence, that also is called as a good wishes towards that person. That also helps the person. Just like Sarva Bhattacharya is giving good wishes about Ramananda Rai. Although Ramananda Rai is in South India. Can be like that. So genuine heartfelt appreciation of devotees and loving reciprocation between devotees. This is actually very conducive for developing a soft heart and rising above a hard heart. And also it is very conducive for attaining Krishna prema. I'll tell you a practical example. Once Krishnananda Prabhu took some few hundred devotees to Mayapur for the yatra. Jainavas Prabhu was there. And Krishnananda Prabhu saw immediately he fell on the ground and offering obeisances and all devotees offered obeisances. And he went to Jainavas Prabhu. Jainavas Prabhu immediately was in big smile and he said, thank you very much, Krishnananda Prabhu, for bringing all these hundreds of flower like Vaishnavas. He said. And he glorified Krishnananda Prabhu as the leader of the flower like Vaishnavas. So Krishnananda Prabhu immediately said, but Prabhuji, all these Vaishnavas may be like flowers, but you are taking the flowers and combining them into a beautiful garland and offering to Radha Madhav. So you are a better Vaishnava than all of us. Then he said, this is the example of a very beautiful loving reciprocation between devotees. One devotee glorifies other devotee, but the other devotee is so smart that he glorifies this devotee even more better. That we call as reciprocation. One time, Ravana Swami Maharaj was glorifying a devotee sitting under the asasana, along with him. That devotee said, what Maharaj, you are saying, I don't have any other qualities that you mentioned now. I am simply a fool, he said. Maharaj said, yes, you are a fool. Do you know what is fool in Sanskrit and what is fool in Hindi? Maharaj asked me. And the devotee didn't know. He asked others, what is the meaning of fool? They said, fool means flower. He said, Maharaj said, yes. You yourself said you are a flower. So in this way, you will find reciprocation between devotees. You will also find when Vallabha Bhattacharya came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praising himself and bragging about himself, that I have written a commentary to Bhagavatam Which is even better than the commentary of Sridhara Swami, he said. Arre, Sridhara Swami is a kaun pada? Great, great sannyasis and acharyas, they are glorifying Sridhara Swami as the greatest acharya in the parampara. Nobody can excel them. Even the most learned scholars say we cannot fathom the purports of Sridhara Swami. He has written such commentary to Bhagavatam. And here he was bragging about his commentary and everything. And he wanted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to hear his commentary. And Mahaprabhu told him, who am I? I am a low class. But these devotees who are around me, they are all first class devotees. He said, just see this Nityananda. He glorified one by one all of them. About Nityananda Prabhu, about Advaita Acharya Prabhu, about Gadadhar Pandit. He glorified how they are so learned, how, like Ramananda Rai, he said, he taught me what is Krishna Prem. Then he said, Sarup Damodar, he sings poetry from Bhagavatam, in the glorification of Krishna. And he keeps me remembering Krishna by his wonderful Bhagavatam verses. And then in this way, after he glorified all the Vaishnavas, in the eyes of Vallabhadacharya, they all were appearing like very exalted Vaishnavas after hearing such glorification. So Vallabhadacharya felt like a duck among swans, it is said, after hearing such glorification. So, by glorifying the other devotees, in our eyes also they appear big, and we can become grateful and respectful to them. In others' eyes also they will look big, so they can also develop appreciation. And by minimizing devotees, in our eyes also they look useless and good for nothing and trouble creating. For others also we have minimized these people. So this kind of, that is why I told you these two things. Genuine heartfelt glorification, appreciation of other devotees and exchanging love and reciprocation with them. Reciprocation means they glorify you and you glorify back without accepting the glory that's given to you. Or you accept the glorification given to you by deflecting it to Guru and other Vaishnavas and Krishna. Like Prabhupada always said, oh, it's all the glory of my American boys and girls, disciples, who did everything. Or sometimes he reflected the glory to his guru. It's all my Guru Maharaj's mercy. I am simply a postal peon. He never accepted the glorification himself. So this is a very conducive behavior for cultivating humility. For cultivating humility. So you will find Ravana Swami always in the end of his lecture, he talks about this Trinada Pishuni China. Paralapisaishuna. Why? Dwarakavishpur was once telling, if you have this one quality, you cultivate it nicely. He said, all other qualities will easily come. This is the most difficult to cultivate quality, he was telling. That's why he always stresses on this quality very much. When I talk at 8 o'clock, 8:30 when I talk, I will continue. The same theme, and we will talk about the right beyond right, which is mature humility that will bring us to the point of right beyond right. Glorifying another devotee is the beginning of humility, and reciprocating the appreciation given to another devotee and putting it back on the devotee is a further development of humility. And the mature humility means, in more mature humility, one can do what is right beyond right. Discuss that. See the Prabhupada.